Our next speaker is a representative of the underpaid and overworked class of America, of which there is a growing number. He works for Pizza Hut.
Here's the man.
He's trying to unionize, which, as you may or may not know, is becoming an increasingly difficult task, to the extent that he has chosen to withhold his name as he speaks today because he is afraid of retribution from his workers. And so this climate, you know, is pretty conducive for speech in the workplace as well. So we'll give him some free speech here. Name withheld, pizza worker number 3.
I just want to say I'm terrified of crowds, so if everybody could maybe just look over there, maybe I'll speak like crouched down or something. Anyways, well, thanks for coming, and like she just said, we are trying to unionize Pizza Hut in Tacoma and Seattle area. And really, it just started out with about 3 of us. And today, we've spoken to hundreds of workers throughout the Puget Sound area. We have successfully scared the crap out of upper management. And we have succeeded just recently and have pressured the company to give what amounts to a 20% per hour raise to all the delivery drivers in Western Washington. Job in the world, and I'm aware of that, but unfortunately, such is the nature of the economy, and sometimes we have to compromise our principles, so I apologize for that. That being the case, I think I'll give you a little background information on what's going on, and I'm sorry if I'm a little heavy on the details, but I think a lot of this applies to some of the larger issues of the new economy and sort of the job syndrome, if you will. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, delivery driving is the 5th most dangerous occupation in America. Drivers at Pizza Hut risk their lives facing robberies and auto accidents on a daily basis. How does the company repay them for performing this hazardous service? By stealing nearly $1 from every driver on each delivery they take. Drivers, not Pizza Hut, pay for the cost of delivery. Drivers must use their own cars and are bled white by the price of gas, insurance, and costly automobile repairs. Yet out of the outrageous $1.60 fee Pizza Hut charges for delivery, drivers receive only 65 cents. Ooh, I have some hair there. Well, you know, they need some extra swimming pools, you understand this. Pizza Hut claims it needs this money for insurance, but it's only supplied misleading information about the exact cost. In fact, at one point in time, they even tried to tell us that it was because of September 11th. So that's how heinous these guys are, anyways, it used to be the case that there was no delivery charge and drivers received 50 cents. And this was only a couple of years ago. What we're fighting for right now is to receive the full $1.60 delivery charge for the drivers. We want a living wage, not minimum wage, for cooks and all crew members. In addition, we've agitated for paid vacation, sick leave, maternity leave, real health care benefits, seniority system, shop stewards, and a repair fund for the drivers. Now, you're going to see there's some guys in some Pizza Hut Worker Unite t-shirts that are going to go around. And if you'd like, you can take some of the flyers that they're handing out. I want you to put them right there. What you can do, if you'd like, is you can take some of the flyers, order pizza, give the driver a nice tip, and hand them some fun and union propaganda. It'd really be helping us out. So, anyone else have a sign up? When we first started our union drive 5 months ago, one manager who accidentally found out about it came up to me and said, "A Pizza Hut union? What's the deal? You know, I can understand being one for coal miners or dock workers, but those guys make $20 or $30 an hour. You need something to look out for your interests. Why would you want a union for a job that pays minimum wage?" Now, this has been a typical response and one that demonstrates a widespread historical ignorance. As I explained to him, coal miners and dock workers make a great deal of money precisely because of the unionized. And so, my organization, both occupations were crappy and paid terribly. In fact, past union movements helped bring about the high standard of living that many enjoy in this country, as well as weekends, occupation safety laws, minimum wage, and health care. Now, upper management has been quick to point out that Washington State has the second highest minimum wage in the country. So I guess the upshot of being broke is that you always have somebody that's doing worse than you. But as one driver, as one worker put it to me, probably far better than I could, quote, we get about $2 more than the rest of the other 20 million poor broke suckers out there, and they act like we should be doing cartwheels in the streets. Well, if they think it's such a good wage, why don't they try living on it? They didn't like that. Then, of course, we've had to deal with the proverbial resort. Are you telling me that you want to work at Pizza Hut forever? If you don't like it here, go someplace else. Now, the great myth of the fast food industry is that such jobs are temporary and held largely by kids looking to make a quick buck or two. Over the past couple of decades, there has been a steady exodus of manufacturing jobs overseas, including a net 2.2 million jobs since Uncle George took office in 2001. 35 years ago, the number one employer in the country was General Motors. That meant a good union job with excellent pay and benefits. Today, the number one employer in America is Walmart, which pays close to minimum wage and is notorious for scandalous labor abuses. The reality is that for many, a fast food job is something similar is all that is available. Some of the other workers we have met are in their mid-40s, and Pizza Hut is their only source of income. One has been making regular visits to the food bank. As all of them are painfully aware, there are no better job options in our area. For many, enlistment in the military is seen as the only other alternative. So why fight at Pizza? With the economy quickly shifting to the service sector, many of us feel we must take a stand. Pizza Hut is capable of paying its employees a living wage and should be able to provide those who work there with the means of supporting themselves and family. As I mentioned before, organizing has been difficult and we have encountered many obstacles. Now this may come as a shock to you people, but our labor laws are not the fairest in the industrialized world. So, I know that's a big shocker. To begin with, you can be fired for distributing union literature in your workplace, and it is completely legal. Pizza, on the other hand, can distribute or post as much anti-union material as it pleases. Because Pizza, as a corporation, is considered a person under the law, it has a guaranteed right to free speech. This means it can show as many anti-union videos as it wants. It can hold mandatory meetings for hours on end to make employees listen to any kind of nonsense they want. And however, here's the kicker, workers do not have the right to respond in kind. Despite what you may believe, you do not have free speech in the workplace. The company can monopolize the floor and can prohibit workers from speaking. Again, this is completely illegal. The First Amendment of the Bill of Rights applies only to encroachment by government on citizens' free speech. Pizza Hut is a private entity, so it can deny workers' speech as much as it wants. In fact, when you begin your employment, you basically volunteer to give up many of your rights. Now that matters because, again, the First Amendment does not protect worker speech, and it does not forbid against the private denial of freedom of speech. Essentially, the corporation, an artificial entity, has greater rights than the real human beings who work there. Now, spreading the word has also been difficult because companies can kick you off their property if they see you standing in their parking lot handing out literature. We've been threatened to have the cops called on us multiple times. One of our organizers, the manager, came out and said, okay, I'm calling the cops. So they left and then came back a half hour later. That was good. So what this means is that we've spent the last 5 months basically just hiding in dark, rainy parking lots and really just having to jump out of bushes or cars and scaring the crap out of the drivers and trying to convince them in like 2 minutes that they should, well, number one, that I'm not a mugger, and that they should join the union. So once we've done that, if we're lucky, they'll take some of the material and bring it back into the stores and kind of spread it out among the workers that way. And that's how we've been organizing. If we're unlucky, we'll get ratted out, which has also happened, which is why we can't give you my name. Because penalties are so weak, however, many times companies will simply choose to fire known union organizers and simply pay the small fine. I think it's like $5,000 or something like that. It's not a lot. There are an estimated 10,000 illegal union fires every year. I'm going to wrap it up here, but I'd like to end by pointing out that both Republicans and Democrats push the anti-union laws we face today. Taft-Hartley, perhaps the most notorious of all for Canapa, was was voted in by a majority of Democrats in the House and the Senate. Both parties have failed to fight for union workers' rights, and it is for that reason that we need to build an alternative to the two-party system.